Are you ready to face your fears and embrace your future? Welcome to the Gutsy Boss Podcast with your host, that's me, Becky Mollenkamp.
I want to suggest that perhaps improving your life can happen in small doses, and that we don't always have to be dreaming bigger, thinking bigger, waiting for these big moments to happen for our lives to feel better. I don't know that I believe that upgrading your life has to cost a fortune or take a ton of time, that maybe just making small changes can really boost your happiness and your contentment. So I'm going to share with you 10 small changes that I've made over the years that have made my life feel better. And I'm hoping maybe you can then use that as inspiration to consider what small changes you might make that can make you feel even just the smallest bit better. And the first one is really simple. I've been wearing a sleep mask for the last few years. I have wrestled with insomnia for much of my adult life, and I am very accustomed to getting less sleep than I should. That's been even more true in the last few years of raising a small child. But the one thing that's made the biggest difference for me in getting more sleep and better sleep is wearing a really simple cloth sleep mask at night. It helps me get to sleep more quickly, and even more important for me is it helps me stay asleep longer. Masks improve sleep because they block out the light, especially artificial light, which can disrupt your internal biological clock, which is what helps regulate your sleep-wake patterns. So there's actually a lot of science that you can read up about why it's important to have darkness while trying to sleep. And it's almost impossible to achieve that even with blackout shades in a room in a natural environment. So a mask can help to create that and help you get more sleep. And I don't use anything fancy. I'll share the link to the one that I use. It's really inexpensive and super comfortable, and it works for me. The second thing that has really helped me like my life more in recent years, and this is about two or three years old, is that I started a book club. And so every Thursday afternoon, I get on Zoom with a small group of amazing women for a book club. I'll use book club loosely because yes, we talk about books. We read about one a month together, but we do so much more than that. After this much time of meeting regularly, even though we have members who come and go and some who come back, but we all get to know each other really well. And so our meetings are really more like deep dives into the aspects of our personal and professional lives. And it's a big investment of time. It's an hour every week, but I wouldn't give it up for anything. It makes me so happy to have a group of women with whom I can share, and I know they'll listen and they're going to cheer on my victories. And I also really enjoy just having stimulating conversations about interesting topics. We read feminist books and they're all nonfiction. It's a lot of feminist theory and theory about anti-racism work. And as somebody who has intellection very high on their Clifton strengths, that's really important for me. But so is community, and it is for a lot of people. And if it is for you, then starting a book club might feel really good. I'm also going to share in the show notes a link to a feminist book club where it's basically a subscription box that sends you feminist books along with some cool products from small businesses. And if you haven't got the time to join a book club but would love to be reading more, you may enjoy that. The third thing is using less social media. There was a time at the beginning of social media that it actually enhanced my life. It allowed me to reconnect with some old friends. And it helped me make new friends, many of whom are still my friends. In fact, that book club I mentioned started in person with people I met through social media. And it helped me stay up to date on my family's latest news. But over time, social media has become less helpful and more harmful for me. And I think a lot of that is because of the models for monetization that have been added. And now ads are pervasive, the politics are loud and mean, and the comparison trap is real and it's unhealthy for me. So the less time I spend mindlessly scrolling through all of my social media feeds, the more time I find that I can actually be present with the people who are there in front of me, with my family. And the less I worry about what everyone else is doing with their business or their bodies, and the more I can be focused on what I actually want and need. I've removed social media apps from my phone's home screen, so it takes a little more for me to find them. And that's often enough just to remind me that there's really nothing worthwhile for me to see on those sites. I also set time limits on my phone for the apps, which I rarely reach. I also set aside time, so each morning I have a little time set aside where I can just allow myself to scroll if I feel like it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I play games on my phone instead, or sometimes I listen to podcasts. And I am not doing as much social media scheduling for my business. I'm holding faith that people will find me in other ways. And so far, they are. Okay, fourth is dressing for comfort. I'm sure this one has at least something to do with age and having a far fewer Fs to give. But I hope it's also a byproduct of unlearning all the harmful patriarchal conditioning that was given to me about my body and about clothing. And after spending a lifetime judging my worth based on my clothing size and what other people think of my appearance, I have let it go. I want to give a lot of praise to Becca Murray on TikTok, and I'll link to her in the notes below. And yes, I found her on social media after talking about being on social media less. But I am really enjoying TikTok in those morning times that I have set aside. It's less about content creation for me now and more about consuming stuff that feels really good. Becca Murray's one of those. And she's helped me stop worrying about trying to have body positivity and instead just focusing on body neutrality. So what matters to me now is wearing clothes that don't make me obsess about or even notice my body. And what a freaking liberation that has been. My body is a vessel and it's important, but it's not more than that. It's not who I am, it's not my measure of worth, and it's not up for debate. And also my dear friend Daisy Gillespie of Mindful Closet, I'll also link to her in the show notes, has also really helped me rethink what it means to get dressed for myself and not for the male gaze. Okay, and number five is taking time alone. Since 2020, I've spent one weekend each quarter doing a solo private hotel retreat. And I'll link to an old podcast episode I did about that in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to how I do those. This private time is exactly what I need to recharge my batteries and feel more like myself for the 3 months after. I'm a really hardcore introvert. I'm an INFJ. And I realized that after becoming a mom, I really needed to create more solitude for me to feel happy and to show up and be the mom I wanted. So I put the retreats on the calendar and I don't feel guilty for taking them. My family knows that it's coming. They know the time away is going to also then allow me to be a better person when I'm with them. So they don't fight me on it. In fact, they are happy for me to take them. Number six, I use my fancy stuff. I love beautiful journals, scented candles, nice skincare products. I've collected a lot of sort of things like that. And then I've always had this habit of tucking them away and saying I'll use them someday. I saved them because they were just too fancy to be using frivolously. And that meant that I never used them. And what a waste. So no more. I have started using all of my nice things on a regular basis. I burn candles or wax melts while I work. I write to-do lists with my nice pens and my pretty journals, and I slather my skin with quality products all the time. And that makes me ridiculously happy, and it's worth every penny. Number seven is that I've been capturing more memories. I am not a sentimental person, my husband can tell you, and I tend to forget to take photos and certainly to do anything with the ones I do take. But since I've become a mom, I've been finding that I do enjoy reflecting on the times that I have with my family. Especially when there's hard days with my kiddo, it's nice to go back and scroll through old photos when we're smiling. There are two apps that have helped me do a better job of capturing and preserving memories. The first is 1 Second Every Day. It's a free app. There's always upgrade options. I don't use them. But each day you add a 1 second video clip. And with just a couple of clicks, it creates this whole memory video for you of your year. And I go back and rewatch it all the time and watch as I'm adding to it. I started it this year and I love it. I love watching my son and our family have these amazing memories throughout the year. And sometimes that's what I do instead of scrolling social media. And the other app is called Chatbooks. I'm going to link to both of these in the notes below. It's linked to the private Instagram account that we created for our son before he was born. The app automatically pulls from that Instagram account, turns it into a book, and then after 60 photos, it sends automatically an album to us, and I also have them go to his grandparents. I don't have to do anything. It really doesn't get any easier, and we have these albums now that we'll have forever. And I never did baby books for my kiddo, but he's going to have memories because I found a way to automate it. Number eight is I set fewer goals. Less is more. You can go back a couple episodes. I'll try to remember to link it in the notes. But I'm a true believer that less is more when it comes to productivity. And I find that the fewer goals that I set, the happier and actually the more productive that I am. And it's not just goals, it's also just daily tasks. Humans tend to underestimate what we can accomplish over the long term and overestimate what we can accomplish in the short term. And that's why now I try to set no more than like one big goal per quarter and put no more than 3 tasks on my agenda each day. This shift has helped my days feel more spacious, and spaciousness was my word for 2022. It's also forced me to get more serious about what I really want to do and let go of all the little stuff that doesn't really matter. Number nine has been buying more glasses. In the past, I was always jealous of people who were wearing these really funky glasses, and all the while, I would just stick to the same basic black frame. But in the last year or two, I discovered that there are all of these inexpensive websites. Two of them are Zinni and Zlul, where you can purchase prescription glasses for as little as $30 a pair. And that includes sunglasses, which I never wear because they were always so expensive. But now I've been buying a variety of glasses and sunglasses and wearing different frames to match my outfits or how I feel on a particular particular day, and it's such a treat. It's not super cheap. 10 pairs of glasses adds up to $300, $400, but I used to spend that much or more on a single pair of glasses. So I consider it a small investment for a big boost in how I feel about myself. At number 10, my last one is that I've been letting go of the rules, and I'm using air quotes around the rules because of course there aren't any, but I've always been a rule follower. And as an online business owner, it can be really scary to do things your own way because what if it fails and I go broke? So I spent years trying to do everything, you know, by the book and following all the experts' best practices for getting rich. During the pandemic, I decided to let that go. First of all, I began to realize that every expert has their own rules and they often completely contradict another expert's rules. And second, I did what they said to do and it rarely made a big difference. And third, and most important, I realized that life is too short to build someone else's vision for my business. So I'm doing things my way, and I'm letting the chips fall where they may. That way, no matter what happens, I will enjoy the journey, and the older I get, the more I realize that that's what matters most. And that's why I want to share these 10 small changes I made with you in the hopes that they inspire you to make some small changes that help you enjoy your journey at least a little more.
You are smart, ambitious, and you have big goals, and often you find yourself procrastinating and you can't figure out why or how to start taking action again. It's so frustrating. And then that leads you to beating yourself up and feeling lazy and kicking yourself for not trying harder. If you're tired of looking for answers from people who keep promising that they will give you the 5 tips to suddenly take action and it doesn't work, I feel your pain. I've been there. And that's why I created the Get Done workbook and private audio series. Sign up and you will get an immediate download of tools that will help you begin to shift how you think about productivity, procrastination, success, and a 10-part audio series that's private and available only to those who sign up for this, where you can hear me talk about my own story around procrastination and productivity and share even more tips for you on how to take action in a way that feels good. If you want it, you can sign up for free right now at BeckyMollenkamp.com/procrastination or check the show notes to get the link. Thanks for listening to the Gutsy Boss podcast at BeckyMollenkamp.com.